Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Like you, I know what you're doing right now.
Oh, right out of the bushy tail.
And of course, it's the day I wore white.
Well, we'll talk about it later.
And the day I wore no makeup.
Yeah.
Stripes. Never wear stripes on camera.
I didn't know they were going to be filming. So I'm just going to look like I'm going to be like Scott Thomas, and I'm just going to be the ghostly floating head of Rick Emerson. It's going to be a big glowing thing, a big, pasty, glowing head above it. Basically, all you're going to see is the receding hairline. The rest of me is just going to be invisible. Hey, it's 1 minute, 13 seconds after the hour of 12, and this is the month of May in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along and making a part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious, studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. You can also, I guess, theoretically send me stuff. It's rick@970.am, but I'm not really convinced that I'm getting all the email there, so proceed with caution. Abandon all hope, you who enter that domain. It's rick@970.am. Our website is there, too, 970.am. Yeah, a station so big, a show so powerful, so immense, so Gaussian, that we had to break out a new domain suffix for it. It's 970.am or solidstateradio.am. All right, it is Wednesday. Okay, so this is what happened about 25 minutes ago. And it's always those times, because I become that guy where I've got the cell phone right on my hip all the time. And, you know, there's sort of a confluence of two different things. One, I got this alleged real position at CBS Radio. And it's sort of a novelty. I'm just sort of a novelty manager. I'm just sort of a Spencer's Gifts version of a manager. And I think they just keep me around to make everybody else feel a little bit smarter and more professional. I'm trying to be more professional, trying to look a little more upscale. I've had to quit wearing my Black Death vodka shirt around. It's just I've had to scale down.
You're the boss of two people. Is what it comes down to.
That's really it.
And one board up.
Two people, one board up. Office the size of a phone booth, a tiny phone booth in Calcutta. But I'm trying to look more professional. So I'm picking up. But I'm actually ironing things. I wash stuff. I don't just
except for today.
I don't. What the hell is that?
Oh,
what do you mean, except for today?
It's just an observation of my part.
You're just looking a little wrinkly.
It's humid! It's not my fault. Sons of bitches. That's it, you're all fired.
Well, in any event.
See, that's the thing with only being the boss of two people, I can't abuse my power. There'd be nothing left. The other program directors, they could fire dozens of people every day. I don't even know most of the people who work in this building. No one does. People walk by, hey, guy, and I go, hey, back at you, pal. I don't know who they are.
They could be gone tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't even learn their names. I'm like, Tim, I said, who does it matter? You know what I mean? And they're all like an assistant manager of something for the West Coast. What do you do? Well, I'm the assistant expansion office for West Coast Network Direct Business.
And they're all on their way to a meeting in a different building.
Yeah, and I just smile and go, hey, all right, sport. You keep at them. Kick ass! You know, just stupid white guy corporate. I have no idea who anybody is. So I just find myself mouthing all these Jerry Maguire platitudes. Hey, take no prisoners, guy. You know, just stuff doesn't make any sense. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is I'm trying to look more professional and presentable. Apparently, in the eyes of some, it doesn't always... I may not be good enough for some people, Tim Miley. But I'm trying to look normal. But then, I don't want to be out of the loop, as they say. So I got this cell phone. But of course, I can't just shove the cell phone into the pocket of my pants because, unlike many people of my generation, I don't wear things that look like they came out of the L.A. Prison system. I wear things that fit most of the time, so I can't put the cell phone in my pocket. So what do I got to do? I got to clip the cell phone on my hip. It completely louses up my whole look. Anyway, but then I'll leave it behind sometimes. As in this morning, I leave the cell phone behind in the office. I come back. What should my wondering eyes appear? Something like that. I pick up my cell phone and there's a message from our good friends at Coin.
Coin 6.
Coin News 6.
Favorite television.
Where they bring the news home. As Robert Plant would say, they bring it on home to you. And so it's this message you think they would have learned last time. So I got this message from Coin 6 this morning, and saying, and is something to the effect of,
"Hi, Rick, this is Hannah calling from Coin 6. And we're wondering if your news program is going to be talking about the election turnout. And so we'd love to send somebody up just to take the pulse of the community.
Absolutely.
And to see just really what the people on the street are saying about this latest election here in Multnomah County. So, okay, give me a call back, and we'd love to do it."
And it's like, they're fools. They clearly have no idea what kind of program this is. And that was at like 11:45, and I'm not going to turn down publicity. No, some guy coming up with a camera, we're there. So later on in the program, the upshot of all this is, it's one of those days where I'm lacking focus. The upshot of all this is in the 1 o'clock hour, our good friends from Coin News 6, they're going to be here in the studio filming us as we discuss one of the hot issues of the day, as we talk about something that is important to all Portlandians. So that's going to be, it's going to be like when we talked about that Foxworth thing. So later on, you're going to have to pretend. And I don't want any of this business last time where people are calling up and then blowing apart halfway through the call. Later on this hour, at the top of the one, we're going to practice again so you can call up and sound informed. And so we can pretend for like 10 goddamn minutes like this is a normal radio program with, you know, with thoughts and things that need to be said. So that's coming up in about an hour. Coin News 6 will be here, and we all have to pretend to be professional. I am looking at you.
Are you
going to
tell them what the topic is?
Oh, it's about the election results and the fact that no one voted. But you can't just say that. Like, you can't be calling up next time and be like, "I didn't vote because I'm going to eat your soul," and like hang up. That's not going to work.
Pretend you're excited and concerned about the community in which we live.
Pretend that you care about Portland election results. I know you don't. No one does.
Remember, this is only for television news. It is not real.
No one. No one important will ever see it. No one in your family will know. You just have to pretend for like 8 damn minutes later on. You have to pretend like we're a real program staffed by competent people. And of course I wore white, which is the thing you can never wear when you're going to be on TV, because I didn't know. Like 11:45, they called me. How was I to know? I didn't know. Now I'm wearing white. Gonna be a ghostly floating head in Sarah Warno makeup. Team, of course, looks perfect. All right, 503-733-2970. What else? Well, that's it. That's all that matters today. We'll do this tabloid recap, although every day that I don't do it, it's one more day that, like, one of the stories basically can no longer be read because it's been picked up by the mainstream media. So I'm going to recap that tabloid stuff today before it all just ends up in the New York Times. Every single day, one of the Inquirer stories is ending up somewhere else. We'll do that, and I swear to God, I never thought I'd be using this phrase. It's Jordan Knight's 36th birthday today. So Sarah Dillon will be counting down the top 5 new Kids on the Block songs.
Yeah.
Good times.
That does sound like fun.
So that'll be coming up later. Top 5 new Kids on the Block songs, as adjudicated by Sarah X. Dillon, who is looking lovely in the
makeup free.
No, she's camera ready.
No, you look fine. I look all shiny and blotchy and bad.
Well, because I sleep until 10, and then, you know, I ride my bike up here to be here by 11.
There's nothing like a long nap followed by a bike ride in the sun to make
I
you look
know.
Gorgeous.
I know, so I took a nap, then I jumped in the shower. And then,
really?
Yeah.
Oh. No, so did I. No, so did I, but it's like it's pointless. By the time I get here, as Tim pointed out, my shirt's all red. Yeah, man, it's like Wrinklevania out there. You just walk outside and you're... I ironed this with the heaviest starch I could possibly buy, you bastards. Like, an hour
before...
You
have another shirt you could perhaps change into?
I got my Richard Cheese shirt that says, "Behold..." No,
Behold
I can't.
What?
I know, it's like, you know, the I don't even want to say it.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about. Behold.
Maybe they'll do a real close shot on you anyway.
Behold the power of
Cack.
On the
Cack.
There you go.
Or maybe it was just used the meters moving back and forth.
No, we put a little logo there, though. We put a little logo in front of the meter.
Yeah, this place is papered in logos.
Seriously, they can't point a, they'd have to point a camera at the floor from an, like 3 inches away to not get a logo. Anyway, so I'm wrinkled and blotchy. Sarah has showered but has no makeup on and was taking a nap about up until about 20 minutes ago. And Tim at least isn't wearing sunglasses in the studio today. So
I'll go get them later.
We're all ready, kids.
Well, I rode the Max in the ride to refresh.
Tim was working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, there was a very exciting election held yesterday, and we know you're all excited to talk about it.
Get your comments ready.
So get ready and stand by the phone. You may need your speed dial for this one. We'll ask you about it during the 1 o'clock hour, okay. But not until then.
Okay.
A Florida woman kills an alligator wrestling with her dog on her kitchen floor. Florida's alligator nuisance hotlines barrage with calls as havoc is raised throughout the Sunshine State. And a bogus casting director promising commercials on the casting couch after licking numerous feet of her aspiring actors is arrested.
Okay, there you go. All of that plus Sarah's got what purports to be a topless photo of Gwen Stefani. There you go. By the way, this is a thing. We were talking last Friday about how... Well, two Fridays ago on Cinco de Mayo, how the booze was busted out at like 2 p.m. here. Wasn't even 5. Like 2 p.m., everybody was drinking. And then last Friday, it was at 11:30. Like, wasn't even noon. Last Friday, I walk into the kitchen. This is last Friday. I'm getting a cup of coffee. And I walk into the kitchen, and people are pouring out alcohol to begin drinking. Here's another way in which CBS Radio is not like your business. I walk into the studio this morning. Sarah said, hey, come look at these boobs. Tell me if these are real. Big, full-on topless photo on the screen. There you go. Yet another installment of ways in which CBS Radio is not like your company. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk, kids.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat Tim Riley reporting. Well, a flight destined to Denver from Portland made an emergency landing at PDX this morning. It was United Flight 364 from Portland to Denver. It received indication there may be a problem with one of the plane's overwing evacuation slides. That was shortly after takeoff. Upon landing at PDX, evacuation slide was deployed. None of the 189 passengers and crew was hurt. And that's all the information we have about that.
I didn't even know that Denver airport had finally opened.
That was the one that was tearing people's luggage and throwing people's underwear all over the place. Yeah, they never bugs out of it, but they had to open it.
That was one of those things. It was like in a holding pattern there for like 25 years. They couldn't get it open.
I mean, that was one of those Jetson things just gone wild. It was ridiculous. It was like overkill.
Okay.
Well, when you lost Jodie Foster's support, you lose America. Attention, Karl Rove. Apparently, she was speaking to the graduating students at the University of Pennsylvania's commencement ceremonies when she said, W squandered the goodwill and sympathy other nations suffered after 9/11 attacks. She also criticized W for the disastrous and shameful handling of Hurricane Katrina. Among those graduating was comedian Yakov Smirnoff.
What?
Yeah, he graduated with a degree in positive psychology. He's given up being a comedian.
I don't understand. Am I high?
No, you're not.
Am I having some weird fever dream?
No. What part of the story didn't you
Yakov
understand?
Smirnoff. That was just one of those. Are you tagging that?
No.
Comedian Yakov Smirnoff.
No, but I make this stuff up.
Okay. Well, no, listen. No.
Why do you think Coin 6 called it?
Attention, Coin 6. We don't ever make up news. Now, look, but you can see how from my perspective, that might have sounded a little odd. Blah, 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 Jodie Foster, blah, 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 W, blah, blah, blah.
And that caught your attention.
Graduation, da, 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 da. Among the graduates, Yakov Smirnoff. Uh-huh. You can see how maybe if you were over at Nya in my chair, you might not have, seen that coming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go.
The news is full of surprise.
What is a master's degree in positive psychology? That's a made-up degree. What the hell? You don't have any problems. You're fine.
I bet Clyde Lewis could tell you.
No,
maybe he's still...
Clyde has a degree in negative psychology. I don't understand the...
Well, you have to ask. Yeah,
I'm just... That was funny. That was amusing.
It wasn't meant to
Sarah
be funny.
Just made Sarah made a facial wah-wah just now. You know that. You know what I'm talking about. It's like when I say something that I think is funny and she doesn't. And it's sort of a facial equivalent of the... Mm-hmm. well, okay. There you go. Yakov Smirnoff. So, we have to retire that. Where the hell is Yakov Smirnoff? Apparently, he's now... But seriously, imagine... Because clearly Yakov Smirnoff is not his real name. I mean, I know he's from, you know, Mother Russia and all, but...
It could be.
It's not. No one's... I mean, it just, it's too funny. It's too funny to be his real name. You know what I mean? It's like Yahoo Serious. It's just one of those things, you know, that he created. But just imagine being some guy and you've got real problems in your life. What if some guy's got actual real mental difficulties, serious challenges? You've got soul-rending difficulties to wrestle with, and real crushing emotional weight you've got to deal with.
If you read the daily headlines, you'll know that so.
Go in and Yakov Smirnoff is your shrink. Mm-hmm. Just kill yourself. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, White House Press Secretary Tony Snow says illegal aliens must go through years of probation in order to become legal citizens.
You got 11 years of probation, maybe more. In that probationary period, you have to keep a job. You have to keep your nose clean. You have to learn English. You have to go through the bureaucracy. You have to pay the fees that attend going through it. So you put all that together. It's not amnesty.
All right, whatever. Are we talking to somebody about... We are. We're talking to Jim Roop about this later on. Not because... See, here's the thing. Like a month ago, no one cared about illegal immigration. I mean, not that they didn't care, but I mean, as a news...
If you live in Arizona, you do. Where?
Yeah, I mean, no one
San
here...
San Diego.
As a news topic, though, no one here cared about it. But...
Well, I did, back of my mind. I just thought about it every now and then.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. But Tim Riley cared about this. No, the rest of us, not so much.
Marginally.
I mean, it was right below, like, you know, like, what color is the lint in my navel? I couldn't. But it's like they've talked about it for so long now, it's become this self-fulfilling thing where, like, now they've made us care about it. It's like they've just poked at us with this big immigration stick for so long now that now suddenly we're caring. And so here I am, according to this sheet, talking to Jim Roop today at 1:30 about immigration, blah, 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 amnesty, which is... I just don't... The thing I'm going to ask Jim Roop is this. You got all these decades worth of illegal immigrants, you're just going to wave... It's like that thing Blockbuster did, where they just said when they're like, all your late fees are gone.
That wasn't really true now, was it?
No, but I'm not talking about when they tried to copy the Netflix thing. I'm saying, remember that thing like 10 years ago when they waived all the late fees for one day?
Oh, yeah.
Blockbuster did this thing like 10 years ago where they're like, bring in your movies, we'll waive your late fees this one time. Come on in. Which, of course, doesn't solve the problem at all, because as soon as that happens, the next day, the meter starts running on a whole different batch of nitwits. So I have no idea how all this is going to work out. I don't really care. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's talk about a different topic.
By the way, Tony Snow almost cried this morning. He did almost cry. Now, to be fair, it's because he was talking about a horrific battle with cancer. But still, very nearly cried like a little girl. I'm going to have the good taste not
Somebody's
going to
make him cry.
I'd like to be that person.
Well, critics of Bill Cosby say he's being too harsh on the black community. He told an audience at the District of Columbia, it's time to confront drug dealers.
I have a problem with Christian men who won't dress up and go down and confront the damn drug dealer the way the Muslims do.
In other news, Mr. Cosby demands that youths vacate lawn directly in front of house. Jesus God. I love Bill Cosby and all, and I'm all for speaking the plain truth, but the problem with being someone like Bill Cosby with a very recognizable delivery and timbre to your voice is that it really is hard to take just a firm stance on these things without sounding ridiculous inadvertently. So I'm not making light of his comments or his observations of the plight of the black community and black culture in America. There are obviously very, very serious problems, but... It'd just be like hearing Jimmy Walker start talking about about like global warming or something. It's just it's hard for your brain to process it correctly.
Well, a Florida woman said she wasn't taking any chances when she saw an alligator wrestling with her dog on her kitchen floor over the weekend. So
maybe they were just wrestling playfully.
She shot him. Candy Fry and her daughter battled a 3-foot-long gator that snuck inside her home through a doggy door. Fry said she had no choice but to shoot that darn gator.
I took a shovel and she took the metal pool sweep and we managed to get him out of the doggy door. And I went and I got the pistol and I still had the shovel and I kept trying to flip him away. And every time I flipped him away, he'd charge back at us. So that's when, I shot him.
She shot him 4 times, but it didn't affect him much. A wildlife officer came out to investigate and put the gator back into a nearby lake. He gave Fry a warning for hunting gators without a license.
Is this one of those things that the media is blowing out of proportion, a number of events that happen all the time anyway, or are alligators really coming for us?
No, we're just blowing out of proportion.
All right,
it's kind of fun.
So we're just scaremongering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Absolutely. Because there are no little white girls missing this week.
Yeah. All right. You know, the perfect storm here was if some slutty white girl was taken by an alligator somewhere. That'd be fantastic. Then we could just cover all of these stories at once. And then we can have the tearful mom on television insisting her daughter's not a hoe.
Like a simple kidnapping instead of an eating?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Operators of Florida statewide alligator nuisance hotline has been swamped with calls after those fatal attacks in recent days. Doug Tobin is one of the operators there. He talks about the increase to the hotline.
The Florida hotline, the Gator hotline, told me on Monday they had a record number of phone calls, over 200. Here in Pasco County, we have seen an increase in that.
Okay.
Gator hotline, just a moment.
A practical joke turned out not to be so funny for a Lubbock, Texas man who is dead.
Oh, there you go, kids. That's why coin comes to us, right there. That's it. If you wanted to boil it down to its purest distilled essence, there you go.
Well, authorities say 46-year-old Juan Dominguez jumped on the hood of his wife's moving vehicle intending to scare her, so she slammed on the brakes, he pulled up, and hit his head on the pavement. The victim's wife, Anna, said she can't believe what happened.
Okay.
He scares me, and then I put the brakes, and I said, what are you doing, Juan? And he slips off, you know. And I get off, and I tell him, and I'm like, come on, man, get up. Don't be playing like that. And he just didn't respond.
Juan won't be getting up anymore. Juan has gone away now, sister. Marry someone smarter next time. Jesus, God. All right, there you go.
Well, the City Council of Blackjack, Missouri, has rejected a measure allowing unmarried couples with multiple children to live together. And the mayor says those who fall into that category will soon face eviction. Olivia Sheltrack and Bondry Loving were denied an occupancy permit after moving into a home in the St. Louis suburb because they have three children and are not married.
Olivia who and Bondry what?
Olivia Sheltrack and Bondry Loving.
Okay. Everybody in these stories is coming out of hell's a-popping today.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The town's Planning and Zoning Commission proposed a change in the law, but the measure was rejected yesterday by the town council in a 5-3 vote. I'm just shocked, since Sheltrack. I really thought this would be over. We could go on with our lives. The current ordinance prohibits more than three people from living together unless they are related by blood, marriage, or adoption. The defeated measure would have changed the definition of family to include unmarried couples with two or more children. The mayor declines to be interviewed, but in a statement says those who do not meet the town's definition of family will face eviction. Blackjack's special counsel, Sheldon Stock, declined to say whether the city will seek to remove Loving and Sheltrack from their home.
I totally want to live in a town called Blackjack. All right, so, well, let's break here so we don't get behind. Coming up here at the bottom of the hour, we got Lisa Goddard. Who is going to be with us here. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard. And apparently there's some nutcases, again, for like the 500th day in a row, protesting the Da Vinci Code, and we'll get more from this later, but apparently it was booed at Cannes.
We got sound from the movie and Ronnie Howard.
Really?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Apparently it was booed and heckled, which is fantastic news for me. All right, don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, we'll practice being a real radio talk show for 8 or 9 minutes for when coin comes next hour. You stay there. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio. Okay, so Rick Everson, Show, thank you for coming along. It's 503-733-2970. Best laid plans of mice and men, and Henry Bemis and Rick Emerson. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com, rick@rickemerson.com. Here's what's coming up. Later on, we'll do the top five new kids on the block starts.
Yeah.
As deduced and ranked by Sarah X. Dillon. Coming up here in just a while, we have to figure out how we're going to pretend to be a real radio news program for the fine folks at COIN who are going to be coming up and being in the studio with us later on. COIN News 6 will be here. They'll be bringing the news home to you later on today. But at like 1 o'clock, they're going to be here filming the news. which they will then have to edit into something usable. And so we're going to do our best to look professional. So we'll be talking about that. And we all got to look less sweaty, too.
I'm going to put on some makeup.
Well, you got that. Now, is that is your hair wet from the shower? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Because you had that whole...
Well, because I just got I was out of the shower at like 10:25, then on my bike at 10:30.
See, and it's always... Again, it's like school picture day, where you just forget, and then you get there, and you get the big cowlick. And then I'm always the guy in the back, like in seventh grade, like licking my hand, trying to get the cowlick to go down. It's a whole lot of bad. And I'm in that stupid green pinstripe shirt that they made me wear at St. Magdalene's, just looking terrible. So, anyway.
I could use some hairspray. I need Anchorman hair. Quickly.
I've got product. As Tim Riley very tactfully pointed out, I'm like Wrinkle Stiltskin over here. My shirt's just all... And
you know, you've been dressing very well lately, and I'd have to say, this is like the poorest choice you've made since we've worked here.
The shirt itself is fine. There's nothing wrong with the shirt. How do you feel about the shirt itself, were it not wrinkly?
No comment. Tim?
I'd say it's acceptable.
It's a fine... There's nothing wrong with this. This is a perfectly acceptable... What's wrong with the shirt?
This is theater of the mind.
We should really photograph your shirt so we can tell, so all the people can tell you what's so wrong with that shirt.
Okay, thanks. Great. Thank you. Let's move on to something more pleasant now. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill.
Delicious.
All right. Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
See, now this West Wing music, it's wistful now, too, because the program has gone away. So now it shall no longer be known as the West Wing thing. It should be theme. It shall be known as the Lisa Goddard theme.
Oh, I don't know about that. West Wing lives on forever on Bravo and cable.
I see. Now, the fact that you know it's on Bravo, tote board has immediately gone up here. Your cool ranking, your Q factor here in the Rick Emerson Show has shot up by like 50 points just then.
Outstanding.
So, hey, are you an Aaron Sorkin fan in general or just of the West Wing?
You know, mostly West Wing, but in general, I'd say in general, but West Wing is the top shelf for me.
Now, is that a thing? It may sound like a dumb question, but is that a thing in Washington, D.C. that everybody watched? Did everyone... I get this image in my head of, like, on Wednesdays or whenever the hell they were airing that towards the end, that West Wing just played and, like, every bar everywhere in Washington was packed with politicos who were watching it. Is that true?
There was definitely a point the first 3 or 4 years, I'd say, where everybody here watched it. I think people watch the reruns a lot more now. Like, the last couple of seasons, people are catching more on the cable. But, you know, it's almost more of a reporter thing, I think, as much as a Washington thing. Because all reporters, I think, all over the country are fascinated by it.
Now, the last few seasons were, they were regrettable. So it's the less said about that, the best. All right, well, let's talk about a couple things. First of all... And I don't know, have you covered this yet, this Da Vinci Code protest thing, the Interfaith Coalition Against Stuff, or whatever they're called?
Yeah, they're here in Washington today.
And so, where are they, and what are they protesting? What do they want, exactly?
They want people to stay home. The coalition isn't completely united on that idea, but for the most part, they're saying boycott the movie. They say that it's offensive, especially to Christians, but also to Jews. And they did add that they think it's offensive to France as well. But they really stress that they think that this undermines Christianity. Sort of this idea that Jesus was married, that Mary Magdalene had kind of an almost divine sort of early priestess type role that's in the book. They say that really undermines Christianity, and especially the Catholic Church, which is cast in somewhat of a negative, secretive light, malicious.
Yeah.
You know, it's
far from reality.
This will hurt babies and orphans around the world. They really do. They say that this hurts the church's effort to do good.
Yes, because the Vatican, the Vatican City's always so forthcoming about everything. There's in no way are they ever secretive about anything in Vatican. And we are all fallen Catholics on the Rick Emerson Show, so we can say this with authority.
Excellent.
When they say that the Da Vinci Code undermines Christians, the French, and Jews, are they just... Is it just that they're just, like, thinking of throwing every group they can think of into the pot to try to just, like, get it? And left-handed people and penguins and just, like, everybody they can think of?
Well, you know, of course, you know, I don't want to throw this around, but you know, throwing out France sort of was where I kind of said, okay, you know, I'm not sure how much help they're expecting to get from France.
Yeah. Americans really want to support anything that's positive on France.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, you know, France certainly, they've had their protests recently, so maybe they're going for that angle. But more seriously, they're saying that, as I said, the problems with how it conveys the early and the book, it's fiction, but it says that the whole initial history of the church was not represented correctly. But it also talks about the history of Judaism a little bit, what went on in the Temple of Solomon, which Jews question in the book. It sort of asserts that that there may have been some Jews going there to have some relations with priestesses there. That's in the book. It's just a mention. But Jews are very Jews. Some Jews say they're offended by that. That is not historically accurate.
And Jesus went on vacation to Paris.
let me ask you this. Not to put too fine a point on this, but they know it's fiction, right? I mean, they did see that on the book itself, where it says fiction and where it's in the novel section of the book. So, like, they are aware of that.
I have a point that Dan Brown does sort of portray as if it's true, but he's not the only author that's done that in history. Many famous authors have sort of had this narrator role, trying to make a work of fiction seem true. But they say, yes, we know it's fiction. We know a lot of people are rolling their eyes at us and saying, get over it, it's a movie. But they respond that this is so serious to them, it's as if you could say Birth of a Nation was just a movie.
Oh, please.
You know, in fact, one priest today kind of brought out this, I think, extreme example. I don't think the rest of the group was quite with him on this, but saying, you know, what do we expect next from Sony? Do we think Tom Hanks is going to appear? And he brought out Hitler as him.
Oh, no!
Kind of Mein Kampf, yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because I think, you know, they've got, from their perspective, they really feel like their religion's under attack, but then you bring out Hitler, and it becomes an extreme.
No, that is What do you? As soon as you do that, as soon as you bring out Hitler, you're done. You're finished. You should go. You should pack up your seventh grade debate handbook, and go home. And maybe this is asking you too much, because I don't want to ask you to get inside the head of these lunatics. But my question is this, and again, maybe you might not even be the wrong you might be the wrong person to ask this.
Oh,
but
we'll see.
My question is this. Okay, well, so even supposing for a moment that it is true that Jesus, as a 33-year-old, presumably normal man, which Catholicism teaches he was, even presuming that he was married and had a kid, who cares? Like, in what have they explicated in what way exactly that negates his divinity?
Well, I think that really something that they're concerned about in the book, and as you read the book, and of course these folks haven't seen the movie yet, it hasn't been released yet, but the book is their concern, and in the book it does sort of indicate almost a worship of Mary Magdalene, and it does indicate that early ideas even of Mary, the mother of God, as Catholics think of her now, kind of emanated from sort of pagan goddess worship, and it does have a lot of throwbacks to pagan worship in the book, indicating that really is still part of the church, and even in symbols in the church, that a lot of the founders of the church had some sort of pagan beliefs. And that's what they say is the problem. They say, we are not pagan, we do not worship goddesses, and this book implies and goes down that road, especially with the figure of Mary Magdalene. And that's what I think they have the greatest problem with. But it does also, they do think that it makes Jesus look like he wasn't divine, which, of course, Christians believe.
Yeah, well, as my grandmother would say, what can you do? All right.
Was your grandmother Jewish?
No, well, it's a whole, my family has a long and sordid history. it's all very windy and unpleasant. All right, Lisa Goddard, thank you so much.
So, and that sounds like my mom, too, so.
No, it's my family, I've talked about this before. My family, if you look at my family, they have the genealogy where you can look back in the book.
Right.
And there's this whole section of my family where they left Germany and came to America, and at a certain point, all of the last names started to change, and like certain things were just erased out of the genealogy. So somebody was trying to change and cover up something in my family history, but who knows? Lisa, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right, there you go, Lisa Goddard, Washington D.C.
This is all too complicated. Nobody really cares, but people are being told this is bad. Protest.
Yeah, they're really just simple-minded pinheads. Really. And I'm not saying that about all Christians, but I'm saying I'm saying that about the interfaith coalition. I'm not even going to talk about it. It is. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, a homeless Orange County man, this is California, who allegedly licked the feet of five boys after promising to cast them in a television commercial, has been charged with lewd conduct. Stephen Michael Jones will be arraigned in Newport Beach on Friday. It's unusual for somebody to wear a suit on the beach, said the police. The boys had just come off the beach and were not wearing shoes. Jones allegedly promised them a part in the Johnson & Johnson television commercial, telling them first he needed to inspect those feet. Then he allegedly licked the bottom of one of the boys' feet. The other two ran away. Bail has been set up $115,000.
Oh, that's unpleasant. I don't understand the foot fetish thing. I just don't. I'm not going to talk about it again, but it's just...
Cack.
I don't understand why she insists on just playing the second syllable here. That's really not me doing this.
Macaque.
All right, there you go. Thank you. Here's Tim Ryan.
Crowds in Tokyo, Japan are flocking to spas where new treatment in which fish are allowed to feed on customers' body parts. The spa therapy...
Why are you reading these things? Why?
Well, they all seem to be related. And it's appropriate for the lunch show.
And the best part was right as Sarah shoveled a big fork full of food into her mouth. Oh, by the way, you missed... We really got to get a webcam here because you missed another during the break. Me walking by in the hallway going to get a refill of my coffee. Sarah backing me into a corner with a Lean Cuisine entree in a box. And I swear to God, shoving it into my face with this. Smell this. It smells worse than before. There's apparently something...
I don't understand how it's getting worse.
Well,
it did smell pretty bad, didn't it?
I'm no scientist, but I do believe that there's something rotting in the refrigerator. I don't think there's a backup point there. I think that it just continues to, the funk just continues to grow inside that thing. So, I think on Friday we had to make Scotty J clean the refrigerator and eat every fourth item that he pulls out.
Oh,
yeah.
That even grosses me out.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, supporters of this treatment say the fish can clear up skin conditions like psoriasis by removing diseased skin and exposing the body to water and ultraviolet light. Local 6, which ran out of gator stores in Florida, traveled all the way to Tokyo and took video of several people allowing the fish to eat their feet.
Sorry. I have no response.
Several other spa customers said the fish tickle when they are removing their skin. A report said that there are no humans in the pools and plankton runs low, and then the fish eat each other.
It's the worst lunchtime story I've ever heard.
Well, let's try it.
That's right up there with that story we had last year about maggots being used to clean things in hospitals. You know what I'm talking about. Here's Tim Riley.
Snoop Dogg's British ban reportedly isn't ending with British Airways. Britain's The People newspaper said the rapper has been permanently banned from entering the UK because of his criminal record here in the U.S. The rapper was given a stern warning last week after returning to London to answer charges about his alleged involvement in a brawl at Heathrow. A scene described as a mini-riot took place at the airport April 28th when Snoop and members of his entourage were reportedly denied entry into a British Airways first-class lounge shortly after British Airways banned the rapper from future travel on that airline. Now it seems UK officials are banning him from visiting Britain altogether.
So he's banned from an entire country?
Yeah.
That's pretty great, actually. That's like, I mean, getting yourself banned, normally you got to be Gary Glitter for that to happen, but getting yourself banned from an entire country, that's like when, what's his name, Liam Gallagher was banned from, or was it Noah, one of the Gallaghers banned from an entire airline, like a U.S. British Airways or whatever.
I think it was.
And then Izzy Stradlin was banned from air travel altogether when he was in Guns N' Roses. There was some weird law that they passed, like Izzy Stradlin, who was the rhythm guitarist for Guns N' Roses, could not travel by plane at all. Like, he was banned from flying. He had to go everywhere in a bus because he was, he had this thing about, he was constantly, just taking a whiz in the aisle of the airplane. And so they asked him to please no longer fly.
Here's a combination clown and snuff watch.
I was really unclear about whether there should be a clown watch or a snuff watch.
There should be a clip watch, then.
Snown watch. What is your estimation as a newsman, Tim? Do you want to maybe open with one, close with the other?
I'm not sure. Perhaps we should ask the Coin 6 cameraman when he gets here what he would do.
Sarah, for a dead clown.
I would say start with the clown, end with the dead.
So we will begin this as a clown watch. We will end it. There you go. Thank you. We will end this as a snuff watch. Thank you. I'm so glad that we even have to have these arguments and discussions. It's what sets us apart. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Lou Anderson, the captivative clown who had little baby boomers watching him as Howdy Doody's final Claribel the Clown, is dead at the age of 84. The musician slash actor died in Hawthorne, wherever that is, due to complications of prostate cancer. He never spoke as Claribel. He broke the clown silence in the show's final episode in 1960 with trembling lips and a visible tear in the eye. He spoke the show's final words.
Goodbye, kids. Everybody knows that. Well, Sarah's, I mean, I'm too young, really, but even I know the story, though, because it's kind of a famous TV story, because Claribel never spoke. Mm-hmm. Claribel was like
like in Home Improvement, where you never saw the neighbor's face.
Kind of like Harpo Marx.
I was just going to say, like Harpo Marx, communicated with a horn. Mm-hmm. And but Mickey Mouse came in and laid waste to Howdy Doody. And so in the final episode, Claribel, and wasn't Bob Keenan a Claribel?
You mean Bob Keeshan?
Who's Bob Keenan?
I don't know. You just made that one up.
Bob Kanan's the person I've just conjured. Bob Keeshan?
Yes.
That was Captain Kangaroo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was Clarabelle. Anyway, so the final Clarabelle, though, on the final show said, like, goodbye, kids. It's all very traumatic.
Anyway, though Anderson was not the only man to play Buffalo Bob's mute sidekick, he was the best, said Smith in his memoir. While the peanut gallery looked on, Anderson used bicycle horns and gave yes and no answers using the horns. For more expressive movements, he had a bottle of seltzer. The show, which was launched in 1947, when television was still a novelty, was the first network weekday children's program. Anderson joined Dutyville, a circus town peopled with puppets and human actors, and watched by a gallery of kids in the mid-50s. That was it. So,
all right, there you go. It is kind of amazing in the 50s they got away with having a town called Dutyville, though.
Yeah.
It was I guess it was a more innocent time there.
It was.
All right, so there's your clown slash snuffwatch. There you go. Clarabelle, dead. Sean says, about the come on sound, which...
come on!
You could also use that sound when Tim and Sarah vocally disagree with your random yet brilliant ideas, such as the Scotty J eating the refrigerator contents thing you just mentioned, which is a fantastic idea.
Come on!
There we go.
I just feel kind of bad. We've just been so mean to him. I'm starting
to feel
guilty.
Come on!
I'm sorry, what?
I'm starting to feel guilty.
Come on!
Okay.
It took him like 20 hours to put together that production piece the other day.
which really was genius, by the way, the coffee thing. No, and I got to convince him not to change his production style at all.
I know, and not only does he work for free, he does work outside of work for free.
He really does. After slaving away all day as a mobile DJ in his black minivan. And the best part is it's like the balloons painted on the side with the little windy strings.
No, it's still one of those graphics from like the first computers.
It's like bad photo art, bad clip art. Totally. Like if you had that PageMaker 1.0 back in 1985 on your black and white Macintosh, that really is like the graphic on the side
of his
minivan.
That's the party time graphic. the confetti and the balloons.
Totally with the confetti and where the eyes are dotted with like swirlies. Yeah, that's totally what that is. So it's... We do respect him, though. I'm just saying it's, you know, that's what interns are for.
And he makes it so easy. It's just,
God love that guy, though. All kidding aside, he works hard. As I said, if I had an army of that guy, I could take over the world, I think, because he does really put his nose to the grindstone. All right, here, just a recap, and then we'll do a couple more stories here. So Coin News 6, we should talk about that as soon as we do, like, one more story. Coin News 6 is going to be here. Next hour to film us talking about... What are they talking about again?
We're talking about the election.
Oh, we are?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess I printed some election stories out, but I forgot. I left them on the other side. Okay. So here's... So Coin, just to recap...
I get to meet the governor this morning on Coin.
The governor of what?
Governor Kulongowski.
Oh, the big Kulongowski, they always call him?
Him and his competitor, or his... Whatever the other guy that's running.
Oh, the...
Saxon.
Yeah, I thought Saxon was a band. I thought Saxon was that band that sang.
Saxon is a very good name for a governor. Governor Saxon. It doesn't have a ring. Hmm.
Doesn't Saxon sound? Isn't the Saxon sound like he should be some Viking guy on horseback, like blowing the horn and like coming over the hill
with a long sword?
Yeah, totally. Saxon's ahead.
He was really nice. He was there bright eyed at 5:30 in the morning.
Well, politicians aren't normal people.
And the governor came in with like an entourage.
Really?
He had like 8 people with
a posse.
Yeah, and they all had suits, and the women were all like really smartly dressed with high heels.
I was going to ask the Kulongowski posse, were the women hot?
The women, I noticed that one of them had a huge tattoo on her ankle.
Really?
Yeah, it was weird.
Well, he's a Democrat.
Some kind of like flaming thing. Mm-hmm. It was bizarre. So she had like this business suit on, huge tattoo. The guys were all like 6'6", all like in really nice suits.
So they all look like that one. We got that sales guy here. Have you seen that guy in the hallway? He's a young guy, probably my age or younger, but like 9 feet tall. Kind of looks like he ought to be on Entourage or something, you know, one of those dudes, one of those swingers type dudes.
Yeah, and then Sex only had one guy with him. He was just casually dressed.
Maybe he's trying to be a man of the people.
Well, he wants smaller government.
He wants, yes, just, okay. Small enough it can fit in your bedroom. But apparently there was an election and nobody voted.
Well, 32% of Oregonians did vote.
32% of Oregonians or 32% of registered voters?
I did say 32% of registered voters.
32%. So it's not even of, like, potential, like, people of voting age. It's 32% of registered. Why would
people who had a stamp lying around to stick under an envelope voted. Who did not go out and buy stamps, therefore they
do
not
Do you have
them.
To stamp those envelopes yourself? Because Laura always does all that crap in the house.
Yeah,
I don't.
You do.
Well, what's the point of that?
Well, you have to lick your own stamps sooner or later.
And lick my own... What am I paying taxes for? Any government wants my vote to better pay for the goddamn postage themselves. You know, seriously, if Playboy magazine can pay for the postage for those stupid cards they put in that aren't even used, then it seems like the government ought to be doing that. Anyway, so but at like 11:45, I got this voicemail from Coin News 6, and it was
Mike Donahue.
Mike Donahue, who apparently is a big wheel, as they used to say.
Mm-hmm. He makes his own phone calls.
It was from him.
I was actually kind of surprised.
He had this great...
He's really nice.
Now, what age would you say Mike Donahue from Coin News 6 is?
I would say like mid-50s.
He had that kind of... You know what he kind of sounded like? He kind of sounded like the guy that does... Max, who does our new voice work here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it is an interesting irony that our new voice guy's named Max. But he kind of has that sound, that sort of, this is the story of Howard Beale. That one of those, you know, the kind of hard-boiled guys. But he's kind of an intimidating voice. It's very big and boomy and gravelly. He's like, this is Mike Donahue from Coin News 6. I was wondering if we could come up and film your radio program as you take the pulse of the public on yesterday's election. Call me back. And then he left me the message and his phone number. So they're going to send the camera guy up here.
Is Mike Donahue coming up here?
Well, I tried to discourage it, and here's why. And I hope I didn't come off as disrespectful to him. I don't even think that I'm some young punk.
For one thing, we have a children's car seat on the floor in
there's
here.
A children's car seat, and there's like a
schmutz. There's dog food in the can.
There's a can of dog food. Sarah's got nude pictures of Gwen Stefani on the screen. And by the way, as long as we're keeping track of ways in which CBS Radio is not like your business, it was pictures of Gwen Stefani. About a couple minutes ago, I looked over, and she had nude photos of Christina Aguilera on the screen.
I'm just trying to put on my website.
I know you're servicing the people.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, service has sort of a different meaning here at CBS Radio. It is not like most normal Earth companies. Anyway, but it's a somewhat laissez-faire sort of environment that we have here. So he's like, well, I'll come up with Dean, the cameraman. And Dean is the guy who came up last time. Now, I guess since we're talking about this, we might as well go with it. So the last time this happened was about what? The Foxworth thing, right?
Yeah.
And Coin, and I think I may have just deleted, because I didn't think we were ever going to need it again. I think I may have just deleted that Coin footage. So anyway, but the last time this happened, it was several weeks ago when that whole Foxworth scandal was happening, and they sent this camera guy up to film us talking about it to quote, take the pulse of the people and see what their thoughts on it were. We're not a real news program. We don't really ever talk about anything serious here. That has anything to do with any actual event. But we had everybody practice. We had people practicing their observations and comments. We had people basically scripting out a bunch of things that they were going to say, so we could pass for just a couple of minutes, as a normal news station. And it went really badly last time. Let's just come out and say what it was. It went poorly. And the reason it went poorly is because I gave the secret code word. I said, llama. And llama, as it will be today, was the key for everybody to call up and go, Rick, I have to say that this behavior by the police department is disappointing, and I find that it is not representative of it. But no one said that. Everybody called up, and I would get them on the air, trying to look good for the Coin camera guy, and they would get on the air, and this is what every call sounded like. Well, Rick, I have to say that I've got nothing. Wham! And then they would hang up. And that would, or Baba Booey. And then that was it. Now, the only call that sounded good was Christian from accounting. Christian from accounting kept it together. She kept it together, and that, true to form. I think I have deleted it. I can't find it. But true to form, that is the one.
I think she has a future at Coin 6.
That is the one call that they used. So here's what's going to happen. So the Coin people are going to come up. They're going to come up in about 15 minutes, and they're going to be here in the studio filming. And we are going to try to look as though we are talking about the election. We're going to try to look as though we are.
We're practicing our concern look.
Yes. Yeah, so we're all. So how are we going to do this?
Well, I do know a bit about it because I did hear all. All the stats and whatnot.
All right. So what do you know? What do you know about the election?
I know that Diane Lynn Mm-hmm. She was the, yeah, you know who she is.
She was the
gay marriage.
She was the one that they tried to, you know, they tried to pin her with the, you know, whatever the, foisted gay marriage. And then her staffers all turned on her and said she was a witch.
Yeah, she got 23% of the vote, and Ted Wheeler got 73%, so
69.92.
Isn't Ted Wheeler, is he the mountain climbing guy?
Yeah, he was like the really...
I know all this from Canada. It's gone wild, courtesy of Willamette Week. Mm-hmm. Oh, that Carol has got her nose to the glass. They can't be here already. We're not practiced.
Are they? I don't even.
Hold on a second.
All right.
Hi, Carol. How can I help you? Hi, hey, it's Dean.
Hey, it's Dean.
Hi,
from
Dean.
Corn News 6. Camera.
Lens on there that makes you look slim.
All right. Hey, can you give us about...
Swimming lens.
Thank you, Carol. Dean, well, can you just hang outside for like 5 minutes? We'll come right out and get you.
With me.
Great. Thank you, Dean.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate that.
Okay, they're here. They're completely early. We're not even rehearsed.
I think Carol wants to audition for Coin.
All right. Okay, so here's the thing. All right, so Coin is going to be in the studio, and we are going to once again try to act as though we are a normal news station. Here's what's going to happen. We are going to come back. We'll take a break here in a few minutes. We'll come back.
I hope we can pull this off.
Well, because here's the other problem, is that if you watch the Coin segment they did on us last time when we were talking about the police thing, what are the shots they always show? They always show the bouncing meters on the board. They show the little volume meters. And then they always do this shot of the phone bank, right? Now... we are not one of those shows where the phone lines are packed all the time.
In all fairness, the last time they did this, we only had two phone lines functioning.
It's true. And the phones here are either... we're not one of those shows where it's like you call in and the phones are always jammed. Because we're not a call-in show the way that, like, Tom Likas is. Like, you know, Likas, who does it about as good as anybody, he's probably the best at that, comes on, kind of gives a layout, gives the phone number, and then he spends the rest of the hour taking calls, and it's very busy. And we're not really like that. We take calls sometimes, but we're not like a John and Jeff, Ed Till style show where we just get on and there's just nothing but calls.
I hope we're
on.
Not like the Ed Till show.
No, we're not like the Ed Till show in that we have a show. And so the phones here are either really busy or they're just dead. When we're not doing a call-in segment, the phones are pretty empty. And so, but what does the guy do? Dean, the camera guy, comes in, and he gets this big close-up of the bank of calls, and the voiceover on Coin is happening. He's like, callers yesterday were calling in about Foxworth. Cue picture of the phones with no one calling.
But nobody really knew what that was.
No, it's like completely empty. So here's the thing. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back.
Everybody call, but we're not going to answer.
No, but you wait for the secret word, though. You got to wait for the secret word. Now, I'm going to give you the secret word, which is llama. The secret word is llama. Now, I may give a secret sound as well. We may have like a... that may be like the... that. Now, when you hear llama...
I think the sound might be better.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you hear
like
the sound...
selling for dollars.
When you hear the secret noise, kids, you got to call 503-733-2970. Now, we will take your calls at that point. And you've got to sound like you really care about the low election turnout. Be rehearsing your sentence now.
You got 4 minutes to do this.
Yeah, you got four minutes to put together a thoughtful sentence in which you sound like you care.
No stress.
Just like think of a really dull, uninteresting talk show hosted by... think of Lars.
And speaking of monotone.
think of like the most common denominator, like generic, uninteresting political talk show that you could possibly summon up. Be a caller to that show.
Be passionate about
when,
the topic.
When we give you this, and sound informed, and then tonight we'll all look like geniuses. Okay, so we'll recap quickly when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there.